Now this morning, we're here to celebrate a risen Christ. And so I want us to look at some of the blessings that come from an empty tomb. Peter, writing in 1 Peter, chapter 1, says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the what? Resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." So these are blessings that flow from an empty tomb, because a Savior has been raised to life again. By His resurrection, God gives us a new birth, a new beginning, new life, and a wonderful inheritance to come, all because of an empty tomb this morning. And so as those disciples ran early on that morning, Peter outran John, or maybe I've got it turned around in my mind, maybe it was John that outran Peter, who stooping down looked inside that empty tomb and they saw nobody. And because they saw not a body in that tomb, they saw no sin. Because Jesus took all our sins on His body as Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea took His body down from the cross, put it in Joseph's new tomb. All our sins were on that body, placed in that tomb. And as they looked into that tomb and found not a body, neither could they find any sin. Do you know what that means for you as a believer? Your sins cannot be found. And that's exactly what Jeremiah could say in Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 20. Looking forward to this time, it says, "In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found." I tell you, your sins cannot be found because they were put away forever on the body of the Son of God. And as you stoop down this morning and you look in that empty tomb, you'll not find a body. And you'll not find any sin. Hallelujah. What a blessing. But you know, Paul could write to the Roman Christians and he could say in the 6th chapter of Romans that there's another wonderful thing that we find in accordance with an empty tomb. Romans 6 and 5 says, well, it's 4. "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Newness of life. Because Christ was raised up from the dead, so we are raised up from the dead in a spiritual resurrection, looking forward to a physical resurrection when our bodies lie in the cold, cold ground. We're going to be raised up because Jesus was raised up. But we're talking about newness of life. That's the same thing Jesus promised in John 10 and 10 when He said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." You, as a believer this morning, are living the abundant life. newness of life. What does that mean? Well, let's look at somebody who was about to lose that life. And you know, when you're about to lose that life, it becomes a lot more precious. That 38th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 38. Isaiah's been told to put his house in order because he's going to die and not live. And so this is the words of a man about to die. Isaiah 38. Let's just start reading in verse 12. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Now that's a reality for us all. In the grave, it's silent. There is no praise to God from there. But it is the living that praise God. And because we have newness of life in Jesus Christ, oh, how rich we can bless and celebrate life and the glory of the giver of that life, even God Almighty. What a blessing to have newness of life. How rich it is. It's a life that is abundant, superabundant life, overflowing with blessings. You know what a baggage train is? Does that recall anything in your mind, what a baggage train is? Well, a baggage train was nothing more than a supply train. All armies in the past and today have to travel with supplies. In a supply train, a baggage train. And you know, the amazing thing is that the Roman legions, when they would send their armies out, had a baggage train that would reach almost 8 miles behind the army, carrying all the food and the tents and the clothes and the armor that was needed. Everything that army would need is coming behind in that baggage train. Do you know that you, as a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, have a baggage train? That's what Paul could say in Philippians 4:19. He says, but my God. And if you're here this morning and you can say that God is your God and you can call Him my God, then this verse is your verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now that's always been hard for me to wrap my mind around. What are those riches in glory? Well, think about it like this. It's nothing more than a supply train. It's a baggage train. All the things that you will ever need in this life are in that baggage train. Everything that you need to fight the good fight of faith is in that baggage train. How far does it reach? It reaches from earth to heaven. That's how far that baggage train follows you. That's how long it is. From earth to heaven. That's your baggage train. And everything you need is there. And you might say this morning, well, preacher, I'm not getting what I need. Well, let me ask you this. Have you asked for it? Because that's what God says. You have not. Because you asked not. It's all right there in your baggage train. And all you got to do is ask for it. And God's going to stop right there and unpack that mule train and take out all you need from that pack train of supplies. It's yours. Purchased because of an empty tomb. Well, you know, one of the other blessings that we have from an empty tomb is that we can rest in the presence of God. I pulled up here last Wednesday morning, and I was sitting in my truck just looking down through the freshly cut grass. How green it was. How peaceful it looked. The sun shining on it. A beautiful morning. And I saw all those tombstones down there. And I began to rejoice in all the departed souls of the saints here that they're resting in the presence of the Lord. What a glorious prospect we have of one day being able to rest in the presence of the Lord. And you know, that's exactly what Revelation chapter 14 tells us. Revelation chapter 14 gives us that picture. It says in verse 9, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Now you contrast there no rest and the very next verse. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." In one verse, you got no rest for the wicked. In this verse, you got the saints of God who will rest from their labors in the presence of the living God forever and ever. So this is why I sung that last song this morning, number 201. When my soul is singing in that promised land above, I'll be satisfied. You know, that's the only place that we'll ever find satisfaction. That's why the psalmist David could tell us in Psalm 17 and verse 15, he tells us where that satisfaction is. The only place we can ever find it. He says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be," what's the word? Satisfied. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You know, that's the whole end of predestination, according to Romans 8:29, is that we might be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. We're going to be like Jesus. And when we wake up in glory in His likeness, oh, then we'll be satisfied forevermore. There's where our true satisfaction is. And so, praising Christ the Savior for redeeming grace and love, I'll be satisfied. And then the chorus says, when my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied. There, in that place, we will have no more battles with cancer. There will be no more struggles with Alzheimer's and dementia. There will be no more depression and mental problems that people have here. It's all gone. All struggles will be over, and we'll be resting forever in the presence of the Lord. So we find Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11 telling us he was looking for a city. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God has built a city. It has foundations. Now I know that every city we have here has a foundation, but I tell you, they can be moved. They can be shaken. Earthquakes can completely destroy all the foundations of many cities here in earthquake-prone areas. We look at old cities like Pompeii, wiped out by a volcano, just completely destroyed. We find that there are floods that destroy foundations. If you don't think so, ask New Orleans in 2005 when Katrina hit. And it just overflowed the levees that's supposed to hold that water back and flooded the city. But I tell you, in this heaven, there is a foundation that cannot be overflowed with water. It can't be destroyed by flames or fire or earthquakes, because God built it, and the foundations are sure. And in that city, you will find the soul will live forevermore. That's what verse 2 of this hymn says. Living in a city where the soul shall never die, I'll be satisfied. Will you? Yes, you will. You will find that your baggage train has caught up with you, and all the supplies you will ever need are there in a faithful God who's there to provide for you.